Mark chapter 3. We're going through the book of Mark, and I am thoroughly enjoying our time going through the book of Mark. And we're in verse number 28 today, verses 28 through 30. I want to read this short passage, and then we'll bring it back connected to what we connected last week, and then show the importance of this. And then the topic today is learning how to try the spirits. Mark 3, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, referring to the scribes and Pharisees, because they said he, that's Jesus, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the work, God, that you've done this last week on our hearts, no matter where we were, whether it was the marriage retreat or elsewhere in Church Wednesday, just some time in our private study or whatever. God, thank you for loving us enough to help us to come to a place that we can know more thoroughly thy precious scriptures and word, which is able to make us free. Thank you, God, for your working in our lives. Thank you for how you've been with us. Thank you, God, for caring. Like the song said, we just sung, thank you for caring. We know you care, and we're so thankful to have a God that has been touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. And within it all, you don't leave us in that destitute state. You give us then the word which can help us to be delivered from these things, that we might be more than conquerors through Christ. Thank you, God, for your working in our lives. Thank you for bringing us to this point today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this message. God, I pray you'd help us now. I'm sure that the enemy doesn't want us to learn this material today. So I'm sure there's a great prospect of distraction and people just having the urge to go get up and roam and do different things. But God, I know that's not the Holy Spirit doing that. I know the Holy Spirit of God wants to tune us into this information and help us with it, I pray. Do a great work in each of our hearts and lives, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, and so this passage comes after, if you recall from the previous couple of messages, after Christ assembles his evangelism team to spread his message, as he will choose 12 disciples, 12 apostles. From the disciples, they become apostles later. Here, they're just closer disciples. But what's happening in this text is there was a great multitude. He's doing some different things, healing and all that. And then he withdraws to a mountain and he calls his disciples, closer disciples, unto him. So we went from thousands down to probably hundreds. And then from that smaller group, he would choose on the mountainside there 12. And then that 12 then would proceed down. And by the way, with that 12, he would actually, he would direct them. He would empower them. He would tell them what life was going to be like from that point on, as in the close circle of Jesus Christ. They're going to work together now, that smaller group, for the will of God, the ministry for leading up to the cross of Calvary and what would take place there. Amen. They then, after they assemble their team, they begin to make some strides toward accomplishing this purpose. They'll find themselves in a house, and it's within that house at the base of the mountain there. In Mark chapter 3, verse 21, it says, and when his friends heard of it, these are close people, they know of Christ, they know of what's going on. When the friends outside the group, they weren't picked to be the close disciples, it says they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Can I just say, those of us that get close to God, if you're not close to God, you're gonna think that people are a little beside themselves, amen, as they begin to serve God, worship God, do something for his glory, because they are so different than you who are stuck in the mud and are doing nothing for God, amen. And so that's kind of the thought there. Already dealt with that topic, but when this group is ordered by Christ, empowered by Christ, and is working in this structure, it begins to make quite a stir, amen? Now the scribes will then accuse Christ, and the Pharisees will see, as we mentioned last week, they actually accuse Christ of being possessed by the spirit of devils, Matter of fact, Beelzebub, Baal-zebub, we saw. Old Testament, if you want to do a search for Beelzebub, it's actually spelled Baal, B-A-A-L, space, Zebub. Amen? Just like it is New Testament. So if you look at Baal-zebub in the Old Testament, you'll find what they're talking about here, New Testament, spelling Beelzebub, B-E-E-L-zebub, all one word. Does that make sense? And so we talked about that last week. But the Pharisees and scribes accused Christ of doing what he was doing because he was possessed with Baal-zebub, a devil, and that all of his people, they did miracles in the power of Baal-zebub. All right? Jesus will then give the teaching that Satan doesn't cast out Satan, right? That this just doesn't work that way. Because what Jesus was doing was he was casting out devils. He's saying, if I was possessed with a devil, I wouldn't be casting out devils. He said, this doesn't even make sense. But know this, that whenever the enemy, through deception, tries to lead you down a wrong path, ultimately, it doesn't make sense. It won't pass the reasonable test in biblical reasoning or even just reason in general, because reason is founded upon the word of God, right? Logos. Logos is the word we get a word from in our Bible, one of two. And that word logos is where we get the word logic from. The word of God is logical. It makes sense. And when you start following a wrong spirit, and when you start going down a wrong path, it no longer is reasonable what you're doing. Doesn't make sense. Now to you, in your deceived state, it may seem to make sense. But if you will seek wise counsel, by the way, this is why you want to assemble a group of wise counselors that know the word of God before you get yourself in trouble, so that you already have established that group as protection for when you begin to get deceived. Does that make sense? Anybody here say, man, I love being deceived. I love being lied to. I love to buy into lies. And I love to just walk down a path that's based on lies. Anybody like that? Okay. Well, we're prone to it. That's the problem. We're prone to it. Say, I'm not. I'm different. No, you're not. You're a sinner just like everybody else. We all have a fallen nature. We are all prone to following it. And that's what I'm going to teach on today and show how we can properly try the Spirit so we don't end up going down the wrong path of deception. So during this exchange, as Christ is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees in reference to where that power came from, that's where we're going to see what Jesus says in reference to Mark 3. Mark 3:30, which is the last verse of our text, is important to state first, so we see why he spoke the first two verses of our text. Our text is in verses 28 through 30, but let's read verse 30 first. It actually says, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. The reason he says what he said in verses 28 and 29 is because the scribes and Pharisees, by the way, what were the scribes scribing or writing? What were they known for writing? The word of God. These scribes aren't, they weren't writing periodicals. They weren't writing articles. These aren't newspaper writers, journalists, things like that. They had those in that day, but that's not what these are. These scribes, their job was day in and day out. They didn't have Xerox, you know, HP printers, copiers. That's a modern phenomena, right? That's something we get to enjoy, and we do enjoy it. By the way, praise the Lord for the printed page. Anybody want to handwrite everything? Not me. Not me. Well, if you say, I would love to handwrite day in and day out with a quill and a ink on a papyrus or something, then no doubt you have a career path to choose. They still do some of that today. But I'm glad we don't have to rely on that for the copying of the Bible or anything else. I venture to say a Bible would cost a whole lot more and be a whole lot bigger if that was the way we did it. Amen? And so I'm glad for the printed page. Amen? So the scribes were religious people. And they spent Do you think they were memorizing the Bible as they were writing it? Absolutely. So these are guys that knew the Word of God. They're writing the Word of God constantly. These are religious people, all right? The Pharisees. They believed the Word of God literally. The Pharisees were literalists. If God said it, they believed it, all right? There's other groups that weren't literalists, like the Sadducees and others, but the Pharisees were literalists, and they were the conservative sect of Judaism. Conservative. So you got these two groups that Jesus will call out here. You have the scribes. They care about the Word of God. They're handwriting it. They want to make sure that others have the Word of God. They're memorizing the Word of God. You have the Pharisees. They are absolutely the ones that will believe it literally. They're studying it. I mean, these are religious people, and they say this. They said, he, referring to Jesus, hath an unclean spirit. They accused Jesus, the Son of God, of having a devilish spirit. Okay, that is why he said what he said in verses 28 and 29. Let's look there. This gets very serious accusation. Mark 3, verse 28. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Now, flip over, keep your place there, but flip over to Matthew 12. I want you to see the synoptic gospel, Matthew 12. It's the same event written from Matthew's perspective. Now, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is the one sin in the Bible that God says there's no forgiveness for. You might hear it called the unpardonable sin. This is it. Amen? This is not the sin unto death. The sin unto death is a different passage, and it's referring to believers. Believers who aren't following God can sin a sin unto death, or you've gone your own way too long. You're no use to God on earth anymore. You're a black spot, if you will, to what he's trying to accomplish, and so he can take you home early. That is called the sin unto death. It refers to believers, okay? The unpardonable sin does not refer to believers. It's not for believers. The unpardonable sin is for unbelievers, all right? And this is what this is. It is you blaspheming, or you basically taking what the Holy Spirit is doing and you are ascribing his deeds to a false spirit or a devil. All right? And Jesus said that if you do that, you are in danger of eternal judgment. Now, why is that the case? Because it is the Spirit of God that leads us in truth. And if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God, how will you ever get the truth? You won't. Because you've called the Holy Spirit of God evil, so you're never going to listen to him. You can't get saved unless the Spirit of God moves on your heart. You have to receive the Holy Spirit of God's leading you in the truth. The truth is important, but just the truth won't save you. Do you know that Do you know that if you're here today, you've memorized the Word of God, you've read your Bible, you know the truth, just like the scribes, just like the Pharisees who knew the Word of God? Do you know that if you know the Word of God, but you won't listen to the Holy Spirit, do you know you can't get saved? That's what the Bible says. Unless you're drawn by him, we cannot be not be saved. The drawing of the Holy Spirit is where God, by the Holy Spirit, leads us in that truth to where it's applied directly to us. It's one thing to have the say, I believe the Word of God generally. It's another thing to say, I believe it as it applies to me specifically. It's one thing to say, I believe we're all sinners. It's another thing to say, I know I'm a sinner. Do you see the difference? Generally speaking, the Word of God teaches us all have sinned and come short of the Word of God. But you won't get saved just based on that verse. You won't get saved until you receive the indictment against yourself by the Holy Spirit that you are a sinner and that you deserve to go to hell and that you will pay for all eternity based on your sin. Original sin condemns you, but your own individual sin also condemns you. Does that make sense? And so that's the difference. So if you reject the Holy Spirit, even though you may be religious, like the Pharisees, like the scribes, you can be religious and still go to hell. You can be religious and still be wicked in God's sight. And the way it happens is you reject the Holy Spirit of God's leading in your life. The Holy Spirit begins to lead in our life before salvation. We rely, as a preacher, I rely on the working of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why I don't get all hung up when you reject me. Doesn't matter about me. Jesus didn't get all hung up when they rejected him. He even says, we're see here in Matthew, he even says, you can blaspheme me all you want, but if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, different story. Let's read that. Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, Matthew 12, 31, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Wow. Do you see that? It's not about us. Jesus said, it's not about me. He says, but if you turn your ears off or you ascribe to the Holy Ghost wicked intent, if you do that, you are in danger of eternal damnation and judgment. There is no hope for you. Hence the importance of being able to try the spirits. Look over at 1 John 4. I read a larger passage of this earlier today. I just want to grab a little section out here as we begin to look at very quickly this morning the necessity, the need for us to be able to try the spirits. Now, when we say try the spirits, that does not mean that you want to take every spirit on a test drive. Just try them all out. Like some parents today, I don't want to tell my kids what to believe. I want them to try every religion and then take the one that works for them. What? Are you kidding me? Not me. I want to lead my children in the truth. I don't want them to have to go down the same road that I went down. Amen. Well, then you're brainwashing them. Oh, no, I'm brain cleaning them, amen. Or doing some cleansing, amen, right here with the Word of God, amen. There's not just some washing as if I'm whitewashing, covering something up. No, we're cleansing, amen, by the Word of God. It's a proper discernment that we're teaching our children with the truth. Amen? And by the way, I tell my children, if you find something different in the Word of God that you hear your dad saying, let's talk about it. Let's go to the truth. I don't want them just believing dad. I want them to believe the truth. Amen? And I don't want them to try every spirit. Do you? Do you want your children trying out those devilish spirits that are all out and about and around, maybe even in here today? I don't. Amen. 1 John 4, verse 1. Try them means to prove them, to find out what sort they are. Put them on trial. Put the spirits in your life on trial. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Man, that's tough, because how am I going to discern? If God's given me a command, He's also given me the means to discern. If God's given me a command to not believe every spirit, but then told me if I reject the Holy Spirit, I'm in trouble. Well, then I have to have a means to be able to determine what's what. Amen. But try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's recognizing the deity of Jesus Christ. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. We would say absolutely that's in our world today. So we basically have from this text and the next text, look over at 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to find three groups of spirits, three categories of spirits. Number one, you have the spirit of man. Number two, you'll have the spirit of God. Number three, you have the spirit of Antichrist. Under the spirit of God is also, we could say, the spirit of truth. Under the spirit of man, you can also say the spirit of carnality, the carnal spirit. Under the spirit of Antichrist, you can say the spirit of error or the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is not carnality. It's actually a devilish spirit, all right? The spirit of man, carnal spirit. The spirit of God, God's spirit. The spirit of Antichrist, the devil's spirit, or the devil's, not just his spirit as in Holy Spirit, but the spirits that are with him. Does that make sense? We have the spirits that line up with the devil. We have the spirit that lines up with God, Holy Spirit. We have the spirit that lines up with man, your spirit. All right? All three of those are spoken distinctly of in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse number 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. Can't wait. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit of God, right? Searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Where is the spirit of man? It is in you. It's what animates your flesh. It's what has, in a sense, provides that life. When you die, that spirit does depart, as well as your soul. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So we have the Spirit of man, the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. Another spirit. Spirit of man, Spirit of God, Spirit of the world. But the Spirit which is of God. We've not received. Receive means it wasn't with me. The Spirit of man is with me. But I can receive the Spirit of the world or the Spirit of God. I choose. I must discern. Amen? It says, verse number, let's see, 12 and a half there, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. In other words, I am not going to learn the things of God by the spirit of man. I cannot know the things of God by my spirit that's with me. I can know me, I can know the things of man, I can know carnal things, but I can't know God's things by my spirit. Does that make sense? If I'm going to know the things of God, I need the Holy Spirit. I need God's spirit. Does that make sense? By the way, if I want to know the things of the world, I need the devil's spirit. I learn the things of the world by the devil's spirit, or the devil's spirit, the spirits, the demons, if you will. I learn the things of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen? It goes on to say, verse number 13, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, you and I in our natural state, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. In other words, my carnal spirit does not receive teaching of the things of God on its own. It can't. It's foolishness to him. All right? Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now we are to try the spirits in our lives to determine of what type they are. Every spirit we're talking about, the spirit of man, the spirit of God, and the spirit of devils, every one of those is a force in our lives. Anybody ever find themselves in a wind storm? You ever find yourself having a hard time standing tall or standing up in a windstorm? Absolutely, because that wind is a force. If you take a pencil on the table, flat surface, and you blow wind at it, that pencil moves. It's a force. Spirit is a pneuma. It's wind. That's what it is. We don't see it, but it's there. We don't see wind. We see the effects of wind. Every spirit we're talking about is moving and pressing against you. Every one. And they all are always pressing on us. You and I are inundated by these three spirits all the time. Amen. All the time. Look over at Romans 8. Romans 8. I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 2:11 for sake of time. We were already there just to bring it back. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now, Romans 8, verses 1 through 8, it tells us about the spirit of man. It says in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit of God. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Watch this, verse 4. That the righteousness might of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, who walk not after the will of the flesh, the mind of the flesh, which the flesh is what operates the flesh, the carnal spirit that we have. We're alive. I know you have a spirit of man because you're alive. You're able to walk on earth. You're able to be animated. So we're not, this is what's interesting. We are told in scripture that we're not to walk by the spirit of the flesh. We instead are to walk by the spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ, which quickeneth me, which moves me, which works in my life. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. And so I have to make a choice. Am I going to allow my carnal flesh to move me? Or am I instead going to rely upon the Spirit of God to move me? That's what this passage is actually talking about. And it goes deeper here. It actually says in verse number five, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. In your own self, in your own flesh, you cannot come to the truth and the knowledge of God that will save your soul. In and of yourselves, you can't save you. There's nothing about you or your spirit that can fix the condition you're in, you see. And by the way, there's nothing about your flesh and the spirit thereof that we can actually even serve God with or in. We need the Spirit of God. All right, so we have the spirit of the flesh. Our carnal spirit promotes self. Galatians 6 actually tells us what the works of the flesh are. These are, by the way, I'll read this list. This is not the devilish spirit moving us to these things. This is where this gets interesting. My own carnal flesh. Look at verse, you don't have to look there, but you know the text. Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are adultery. The devil doesn't have to lead you to adultery. Your flesh already is. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Our flesh, without even the devil pushing us that way or his spirit, our flesh is bent that way. Is that crazy? That's just your flesh. Our carnal spirit does not mind if we're religious. Our carnal spirit does not mind if we're Baptist. Our carnal spirit does not mind if we witness or read our Bibles, so long as we put the flesh first. Does that make sense? You can, the scribes and the Pharisees, you can serve God in your own mind, in your own thought. You can be a religious person in the flesh. Your flesh is all about itself. And so the flesh is great at bartering. It doesn't matter. It doesn't care. All it cares about is at the end of the day, it feeds its own belly. It gets its way. It does what it wants to do. That's carnality. Next, very quickly, the spirit of Antichrist. We're going to move very quickly, amen. The spirit of Antichrist. Remember, the spirit of the flesh promotes its own kingdom. The spirit of Antichrist promotes its own kingdom. What does the devil want to do? He wants to usurp Christ. He wants Christ's kingdom to go away, and he wants to be in charge of his own kingdom, his own realm. He wants to be God. So the spirit of devils, the spirit of Antichrist, all he wants to do is move you away from Christ. The spirit of the flesh, all he wants to do is lead you no matter the arena. He doesn't care if it's a godly arena, an ungodly arena. He doesn't care as long as it's all about you. The spirit of carnality just wants everything to be about you. All the focus on your life. All the focus on what you want. All the focus on what you like. The spirit of the devil, he wants all the focus to be on the devil, on wickedness, on darkness, on everything that is anti-Christ. Does that make sense? Two different perspectives. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can be carnal, carnally minded some, still fleshly, still growing, and be spiritually minded as well in other areas. But you cannot be devilishly minded and minded towards God. Those two are separate. Remember, we start off with the carnal spirit, our own spirit. We have to receive in. God is not going to share space with a devil. You're not going to be possessed by a devil. You're not going to be devilishly minded if you are spiritually minded. But you can be carnally minded and spiritually minded. But you can't be devilishly minded and spiritually minded. Does this make sense? You have to try the spirits and make a distinction between these. 1 Timothy 4, look at this very quickly. 1 Timothy 4 and in verse number 1. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This is God's Spirit. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The spirit of devils tries to seduce people away from the truth and faith in the Word of God. Now, I believe a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ ultimately can't be pulled away from the faith as in walk away. But get this, a religious person who is not yet saved but knows the Word of God and is just selfish in it but has never come to the place where they've been truly born again, they can be. They can be pulled away. It has been estimated that like 75%, if not more, of members of Baptist churches are lost. Do you know that? That's scary. The biggest group that the Jehovah's Witnesses get their people from is Baptist churches. Huh. How? Scribes, Pharisees. Religious works well for them, but they're selfish. They've never really been born again. They just have a form of godliness. It works good for them in religion. They've never really been born again. Yes, all are sinners, but wait a second. What about you? Are you a sinner? Do you see the difference? That's why you must be able to try the spirits. Oh, I have so much more on this. Just lastly, let me just give you what the Spirit of God and then how to determine in reference to that, and then we'll close. The Spirit of God. John 14, John 15, John 16 all say that as Jesus departed, he would send the Holy Spirit. He would be called the Spirit of Truth. The world can't receive him, but we can receive, anyone can receive him that's willing, but in the world, okay, the spirit of carnality is not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world, the prince and power of the air, is over the world. The devil, devilish spirits are over this world. If you're in the world, if you're in that type of an arrangement, you've bought into the devilish side of the world and the spirit thereof, then you're going to reject the Spirit of Truth. You're going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If all you are is carnal, meaning I'm just carnally minded, I'm all about me, you can be born again. But you're going to have to reject, accept the fact you're a sinner, reject who you are as a sinner, embrace Christ, that's fine. But if you are truly of the world and you've bought into the devilish side of the world, you can't be saved until you're willing to see that removed. You have to pull yourself away from the devil's table. That's the scripture says. You can't sit at the devil's table and at the Lord's table at the same time. Does that make sense? And that's what we see here. There's so much here for us to even look at. In John 15, it says the Holy Spirit actually testifies of Christ. John 16 says that the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You find a Christian who is upset, well, a quote-unquote Christian, who's upset because people, other Christians are too holy, too righteous, witness too much, on and on and on. If you find a supposed Christian who is against true Christians doing what the Holy Spirit leads them to do, I'll show you someone that's pulled up to the devil's table, amen, and trying to act like they're religious in the midst of it, amen. They are blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God in the process and are in danger of judgment, amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit leads us to witness, amen. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you are moved to tell others about Jesus Christ. And then Galatians 5 tells us what the fruits of the Spirit of God are in our lives. It starts off with love. Love, charity, it's loving others. By the way, what's carnality? Loving self. It's all about me. Me first, me first. A lot of people operate that way. I can't help them unless I help myself first. Whoa, 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 whoa. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things, everything else you need will be added unto you. We don't seek self first. That's carnality. Don't worry. You can play the role of a Christian, even being carnal. Now God's going to work out that carnality. You can even be born again and be carnally minded. But God will work on that and chasten that and purify that and separate that from you, sanctification. But you can't be devilish. You can't be worldly in the sense of devilish and be born again. Does that make sense? That's why there's three spirits. You got to understand this. The carnal spirit, the devilish spirit, and the Spirit of God. The three, how they work. Peace, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. These things, this is what the Spirit of God produces in our lives. Let's try to wrap this up. Back to our text, please. Mark chapter 3. In our lives, we are going to have to discern between which spirit is leading us in our lives. I already said, each of those spirits, by their very nature, are a wind, they're a force, and they're pushing us somewhere. They're moving us. We have to discern who's pushing us. We want the Spirit of God to push us. Amen? We don't want our own spirit pushing us. And we don't want the devil's pushing us around, do we? We want God's Spirit to push us. You control which spirit you allow to push you. Here's how you discern. Man, I really like that girl. Kind of being pushed towards a relationship. I know my parents aren't for it. I'm just gonna have to leave that church. That church is so tight in their standards and how they believe things and all that. I'm just gonna have to say no to my parents, no to the church. I know this is God's will because I really love this girl. And I'm just gonna go that way. Okay, let's try the spirits. Would the Holy Spirit of God push you away from godly parents and a godly church who's preaching the truth? Is the Holy Spirit going to push you away from that? No. Oh, okay, let's try. Let's see. What about a carnal spirit? Would a carnal spirit push you towards fornication? Yeah, that's actually that's a work of the flesh. Would a devilish spirit push you towards forsaking the kingdom of God? Would he do that? Absolutely. Well, so if I try the spirits, whoa. The devilish spirit will definitely do that because they don't want me to be close to God. The carnal spirit would, because one of the works of the flesh is fornication. Yes, that's going to do that. But wait. The Spirit of God, if I try the Spirit here, this ain't a right spirit, because the spirit that's pushing me towards that is pushing me away from the very entities that God has given to help me to know the Word of God in my lives and protect me. Does that make sense? This is how we try the spirits. Man, just everything's good. I'm feeling right and all that. I just don't feel like today is a good day to go to church. Whoa. What are you feeling like you want to do? I think I'd rather go take a hike. I want to take a hike. I'll be close to nature, clear my head, breathe in some really good fresh air. That's the spiritual help I need on this Sunday morning. Oh, let's try the spirits. The carnal spirit. What's the reason you don't want to go to church? Man, my backside hurts. I don't want to sit there. Okay. What about over here? Let's try the spirits. The devilish spirit, get them away from church for a day? Absalom for that. Well, let's try. How about God's spirit? Is God's spirit going to lead you to forsake the assembling of yourselves together? I can discern who's pushing me. If you begin to use this in your life, what is pushing me to make this decision? You'll see what's pushing you is one of these three spirits in everything. Everything. Man, my wife just said something I don't like. We just came through a marriage conference, right? We heard a little about this. I just want to tell her to shut up. I just can't handle it. Oh, what spirit is this? Is this God's spirit? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even God's for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is it that spirit? Or is it a devilish spirit that hates everything God has put together? He hates marriage, the true nuclear family. He hates that, right? We know he wants that gone. In his kingdom, there'll be none of that. There'll be a bunch of men with men and women with women stuff over there. Because that's against God. That's not how God set it up. And then on this side, carnality, how can she speak that way to me? I'm putting her back in her place. That's carnal. Okay, so I'm being pushed in a direction then that's not of God. It's not God's spirit. It's not God's spirit leading me. Who's pushing you? The direction you're going, which spirit is pushing you? That's how you discern. It's either a carnal spirit, it's all about me, selfish. It's either a devilish spirit pushing me away from God and everything that God is for, Or it is the Holy Spirit of God pushing me towards the Word of God, towards Jesus Christ, toward what we find in this book. It's only three, and that's how you discern. God, help us today. Thank you, dear God, for this lesson in the Word of God. I pray that it would be a blessing to each of us. I pray that it would become very simple for those of us that were willing to hear the truth of the Word of God today. And I pray that it would be a tremendous help to us to see the difference and make some sense of the pushing that we feel in our lives to go this way or that. God, you've given us the ability to reject the pushing of the flesh as a Christian and to reject the pushing of devilish spirits by embracing the moving and pushing of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And if we'll just walk in the Spirit, then we won't walk in the flesh and we won't walk with devils. God, as long as we're walking with you, these other forces can't touch us. But God, when we choose to walk away from the Spirit and entertain these others, that's where we really become double-minded and have issue on the direction of our lives. So God, help this to be a help to each of us today. God, if there's someone lost here today and they're being moved to be born again, I know that the devils aren't moving them to be born again. And I know carnally speaking, the carnal man wants to be seen as religious and righteous, but he doesn't want to be captivated by Christ. And so I'd have to say, God, that if someone's being moved to come to know you, to repent of their sin and trust Christ today, that would be the working of the Holy Spirit. And whoever that might be that that's happening to, they would want to follow you in this. God, help us to learn how to discern the spirits by trying them, by putting them in a judicial court, finding out what their fruits are, finding out what they're pushing us towards, and then make that determination. And God, give us grace in this area to choose you every time in your Spirit. Help now, I pray in Jesus' name.